Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Here's Midland.
One more night, one more down, one more round. First one in, last one out, giving this town lots to talk about. But they don't know, but they don't know. People say I got a drinking problem, that ain't no reason to stop.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville. Thank you, Nick. That was perfect. That's much better. That's
bro,
much better.
Bro country, right?
Yeah. That's much better. What's process coming in with a look like that for?
That's his baseline too.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're trying to have a radio show here, process. And I'm pretty sure you're supposed to be producing one on the other channel. So no idea why you're here.
They can handle themselves. It's okay. I gotta talk business with Nick. Talk shop a little bit. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Now here's one thing. Let me bring to the air real quick. Process has no idea who Matt Willinger is. Yeah, he said. Process said he and he look. He Matt can't hear you right now, so don't worry about it. But he said we were in the back, and he was like, "I have no idea who." He was like, "Who's that?" I said, "That's Matt Willinger." He looked at me like, "Okay, who is that?" I said, "Matt Willinger, bro. You don't know who that is?" Yeah, he had nothing. So, yeah, thanks for all the support, Process. Fair enough. So, anyways.
That's our process.
Yeah, anyways, Texter says we lied. We said a two-minute break, and we didn't. That's fair enough. Sorry about that. Anyways, I am joined by Matt Willinger, man.
Hello.
It's good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Nick's going to get you a pair of headphones.
Process doesn't know me, but I know him. So Process. I got an eye on him.
he knows you, man. Listen, that should make you feel terrible too. I do got Matt in here for a reason.
Okay.
And we're gonna chat. We're gonna talk. I think Nick's coming in behind you there. We're gonna talk a little bit of sports. There you go. Perfect. Try that one. If that one don't work, then I've got nothing for you. And I don't think you want to use my pods. Because it's like a rule. You don't use another man's AirPods. Like,
I did that one time.
No, that didn't work either.
I didn't do that, but I didn't use another man's AirPods before COVID.
It's better,
definitely not doing it now.
In the middle of a pandemic. Yeah. Is that better? Do we got some sound?
No, but
okay,
we're good.
Well, thanks, Nick. You screwed the whole show up now.
I think you and your thunder thighs knocked a button loose.
There's no buttons loose. Everything is fine.
All right. Well, he can. Matt can hear you. I don't need to contribute. Okay. I rarely do anyway.
So. All right. Fair enough.
Nick's we'll make do.
We'll make do. Let's figure it out here. Okay. Matt Willinger in with me, man. First
yes, sir.
Off, I appreciate you being here. Matt Willinger is with the U of L Alumni Association, right?
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Yeah. I'm official titles executive director of U of L Alumni, and right. I always reach out to you when I've got something going on.
That's the only time he reaches out.
That's
to
right. Mm-hmm. And of course, got something going on.
Yeah.
So we've got Louisville homecoming next week.
Ooh.
And it's going to be fun. We've got something planned for literally every single day from Monday through Sunday of next week. If you want all the info, you can go to uofalumni.org for the full calendar of events.
Yeah.
One of the cool, I'll hit the highlights. How about
okay.
that?
Yeah, yeah.
I won't go through the whole week, but I'll hit the highlights. Monday night, we've got our partnership with Louisville Athletics called our Game Changer Series, which is really cool because it's former student athletes coming back to talk about their experiences on campus, talk about what they've learned since they've left campus. So just like a really cool, kind of like a mix of what they're up, where are they now? You know, everybody loves hearing what are your favorite former players are up to. So great chance to kind of check in with them, see what some of their best homecoming memories were.
Yeah.
We've got our annual day of giving. We call it Raise Some L on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Like,
yeah. So we're going to raise some L and raise a ton of money for any part of campus that you feel passionate about. Thursday, this is kind of cool. We've got our alumni awards ceremony. I'm super excited about it because we took last year, didn't take last year off, but we made it virtual. So this is back in person, live events. Yeah. We're honoring 20 different fellows. Our alumnus of the year, get this, his name is General Joseph Martin. He is the number 2 ranking person in the U.S. Army.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah. Just the 37th Vice Chief of Staff ever. So, I mean, four-star general.
Okay.
Before, you know, the semester started, I wasn't even sure. I didn't even know he went to U of L. And now the more you learn about him, you're like, this guy is impressive. I mean, think about it. You're the number 2 guy overall in the Army.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of big time.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. So fair excited to bring him to campus and show him how campus has changed and all of that.
Wow.
And then, of course, also at the end of next week, we've got our Black Alumni Summit, which is something going on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's a brunch on Sunday. So ton of activity all week long. And then, of course, the game on Saturday as well. So we've got a ton of activity. Our alumni awards that I was hitting at with General Joseph Martin, tickets are, or we're not selling tickets to the public. It's invite only, but we're live streaming it. And we've put a ton of power behind this to live stream it to make it come off looking like a true award show. So you can live stream it Thursday night, ufalumni.org. You can find all the info, all the details, and the full calendar of events that I just read off. All of that info is there. And so if you need anything, go there. If you have any questions, at Matt Willinger on Twitter, just give me a shout and happy to get back with you.
Wow, man. See, you know, you forget, and I think the reason why it's good to remind people is I think sometimes you forget when you're not in the school, you're like homecoming is, you know, it's just a homecoming game. What's homecoming game mean to you? I don't know. It's a homecoming game.
It's homecoming. What does that even mean? But no,
I know, but it's like there's so much goes on college campus that week.
I mean, literally Monday through the following Sunday, we've got something. And there's a ton of other events. I mean, I didn't read the whole list. We've got our Golden Alumni Reunion on that Friday morning next week, which, I mean, think about it. You graduated from U of L 50 years ago. You're coming back. Campus looks a little different.
Oh, gosh.
Campus looks the truth. You know, you look on campus now, you see these cranes, new residence halls going up, all this building. Little different than it was 50 years ago.
We talked to Mike Bush, and he says all the time, he's like, man, it's a totally different stadium or a totally different campus. You know, like when people come in here, they're like, this is, everything's different, man.
I give campus tours, and you know, I say, well, this used to be the gravel parking lot where I parked on when I was a freshman. Now there's this huge residence hall there, or there's this or that, or there's a facility. It's, you know,
I mean, we're around the same age group and stuff, and it's like, man, you just, even from just a few years ago, you know, it was like, golly, man, just everything. So, I make the joke a lot of times, then we'll get into some sports here, but I park for football games. I park by McDonald's in that parking garage right there, right next to the sack. And I do that because I really, truthfully enjoy the game day walk from the parking garage to the stadium down Floyd. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
And walking back after a game, whether I'm angry or happy or whatever, it's like, that's such a distressing walk because you're like, it's just beautiful.
Well, and it's better than sitting in traffic.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's something about walking across a college campus in the fall, you know, when the leaves are changing and it's starting to be sweater weather. And it's like, it's something kind of cool about that.
Yeah.
And so, if anybody has any questions about homecoming week, please reach out to us. But ufalumni.org is kind of your hub for all of that information.
Yeah. No, absolutely, man. Well, we appreciate that. We're going to revisit that again. Matt's actually going to stick around with us throughout the hour.
I think. I'm excited about it.
So I don't know what we're going to owe him pay-wise. So I know his time is valuable.
I saw Sweeney in the back, so I'll cut my deal with him.
Well, it probably would be him that would need to make the call. I think he's the program director. So,
perfect.
Yeah, so deal with Sweeney on that, and he'll pay you out of his pocket. let's dive right in here. Matt, obviously, for those of you that don't know, you know, you might remember Matt. He was on with Howie Lindsay for years, here, over there, everywhere.
Got my start at the Louisville Sports Report. You remember that? It was like a weekly publication that was mailed to all season ticket holders.
Yes.
And then that's kind of, I started as an intern there.
That's awesome,
my sophomore year at U of L. And really, it's just because I wanted access.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I loved Louisville
that's
sports. And I thought, how can I get closer to these programs?
I know.
And I thought, ooh, I'm going to intern at the paper that writes about it all.
Right. And that's how, and again, like I said, that's kind of of how we are here. And the reason why I wanted to say that is because most people do know you, especially the ones that listen to this show. But people that don't, it's like the conversation we're going to have over the next hour, it's like you live and breathe Louisville too. Like, yeah. You're a fan. Like,
I mean, I'm a fan. I was a ball boy for Denny Crum's 1990 team.
Really?
So
the 19? I didn't know that.
I hand wrote Denny a letter, and he, I was chosen. So
it's just a handwritten letter. Yeah, Denny, what did it say?
I'm a huge Louisville fan, and I love you, Denny Crum, and love to be. How do you get to be one of those kids that wipe up the sweat? And I loved it. Listen to this. Here, you want some throwbacks? I can still have the photos at home. I have my photos with Derwin Webb.
Yeah.
Dwayne Morton.
Yeah.
Brian Hopgood.
Yeah.
Greg Minor. Jimmy King. I mean, that was my team. Alvin Sims. I mean, that was the team that I was a ball boy
awesome.
For. Yeah, yeah. I loved it.
Oh, man.
Glory days.
The honorable Derwin Webb.
That's right.
Yeah. Your honor now.
That's right.
That's awesome.
So I've been
story,
around
man.
A while.
Okay. So I say that to say what we're going to get into here. I've talked a lot in the first hour about the football team.
Yes.
And I would like to actually, I'm going to continue that with you right now, and then we'll get into some basketball. Because Coach Mack talked to us. Did you hear any of Coach Mack?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of the stuff from the ACC.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that after after we take a break here in a little bit. Football-wise.
Okay.
We're 3-3.
Yes.
It is an odd 3-3. It's an odd 3-3 because it's an odd I don't want to say an odd fan base, but it's a different spot.
Yes.
There's so much has happened over 5 years that has kind of put us in this. It's kind of, I don't want to say on edge, but it is kind of on edge. And I think, and this is what I was talking about in the first hour. I said the thing I'm trying to do today is we all. Okay, we can argue. That's fine. Louisville fans, we can argue. But I would like to today try to put that aside a little bit.
Sure.
Like, let's not argue. At the end of the day, we all – look, whether you politically, whatever you believe on whatever, you know, your the culture side of it.
Sure.
Me and Nick joke about this all the time. At the end of the day, we all want to see Louisville be good.
Yes. We're
and that's
all
something
for the
we can
red
all
and black.
Agree, yeah, we can all agree on. We just want the team to be good.
Yes.
And how do we fix that? I'm curious, and I'm not even going to lead you with what I talked about, but I would like to know 3-3. Obviously, something I think could be, or maybe you don't think there is, but I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts because the last time we talked, we were going into the season, going into Ole Miss. We had high hopes.
We did.
I don't think any of us necessarily thought we had to win that game. Okay,
right.
I thought we could, but I don't think any of us were sitting in here going, oh, I mean, you got to beat Ole Miss or else we're just, ugh. But it was like, I don't think we expected to be where we are now. And I'm not saying we're just a crap football team, but I mean, I don't think we expected this. So I'm curious. I just want to know kind of your thoughts so far on since the last time we've talked to now and kind of what you see with that.
I think when I was in here last, it was right before the Ole Miss
game. Before, yeah.
And my prediction then was that I would see you guys in December to be promoting a bowl game.
Sure.
I'm standing by the prediction.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel like a path to bowl eligibility is still completely on the table.
Yeah.
You only have to have a couple more wins and you're in there, and the road ahead isn't murderer's row.
Yeah.
So I do think that making a bowl is huge.
Yeah.
I think we have so many young people on the team that I think that extra month of practice would be huge.
Massive.
So I still think that's on the table, and I think that needs to happen. Now, the last 2 weeks have just been so deflating. When was the last time Louisville lost a lead? You know, we're going in, 31-13 or something going into
30,
the fourth?
30-13.
30-13. I mean, it was to the point where you're like, okay, what else is on? What else is, what's going around the stadium? Mm-hmm. Because
sure.
The game was almost just like, okay, this one's put away. And so to lose and to lose in that fashion where I don't think I was alone, and like you knew once you knew that was going to happen, like you could see it, and you didn't want it, but you knew that they were going to score there. And I just think going into the bye week, the difference between 4-2 psychologically and 3-3 is so big. You know, I mean, you hit that bye week going into homecoming game, you're 4-2, and you got your whole path in front of you. But to lose the last 2 weeks. In such deflating fashion, you lose on a last second field goal, and then the next week you lose because you missed a field goal at the buzzer.
Yeah,
those are. I'd rather be blown out. I'd rather be blown out and say we didn't pack our offense, we didn't pack our defense, we forgot to pack our special teams, and we just didn't have it today. Rather than, and that's see, this is where I think what Satterfield, You've got to have that culture in the locker room. Because if you don't, you're going to, when you hit the hard times, you know, you've heard it. When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Absolutely.
This is kind of like a character check for me. I mean, you've had two bad losses, not bad losses, but tough losses.
Sure.
And how do you.
Virginia was more on the bad side than Wake Forest was. I think Wake Forest, we were kind of like. And I know it's a fan thing to say, but you were able to kind of find some solace in like, I feel like we kind of got screwed over.
Yeah.
You know it was like,
did they really get off two plays in 3 seconds?
Yeah.
And it's on the road.
Yeah.
And so, Wake is tough. I mean,
Wake's a good team. They're 6-0. I mean, listen, we're talking right now, and this doesn't help that we've got to hear Kentucky 6-0. Wake 6-0.
Yes.
Like, I mean, they're a good team.
Well, and so that's why I wanted to address the elephant in the room, because I see all of it back and forth on Twitter and working in the alumni office. Yeah. I clearly hear enough of it as well from our alumni. But you can't discredit the fact that Kentucky 6-0 as to why there's some fractions in the Louisville fan base.
Because
if Kentucky was 3-3 or 2-4 like they usually are at this point in the season, if the Kentucky fans had moved on to basketball season as they typically do in early October, I think Louisville fans aren't as kind of nervous and agitated. But it's
a little more in get it right mode.
Yeah, it's the fact that Louisville lost to Wake Forest and Virginia, and then the same week Kentucky beat Florida and LSU.
Sure.
I think whether Cardinal fans want to admit it or not, subconsciously that's in the back of their head too.
100%. Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, that's almost like you almost hate to even call it the elephant.
Because
it's like
it's there.
It's kind of weird.
How do you ignore it?
So okay, so let me ask you this, and without look, Matt hangs out with way more important people than I do.
I hang out with you.
No, that is true. That is true. So maybe I'm more important than I thought. Nick, the theme of the day earlier was Nick said I need to give myself more credit on that. So
I only know one guy that lives in Norton Commons. You know what I mean? It's you,
that's
man.
That's true. That's fair enough. I could name a few. I'm not going to for their sake that are much more popular than me.
Okay.
So yeah. But anyways, it's funny who you see when you're sitting there eating. They're like, oh, you live there?
Hey, neighbor.
Yeah. Wow. How about that? So here's my thing. Without kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to get you to talk any certain way. Are you making any changes? I'm curious. Or do you ride this out? And I'm not. Let me be clear. I'm not really referring to the head coach, because I don't think it is productive at all to move on from a head coach or something.
Yeah, not after 2.5 years.
Or especially midseason.
Yeah, no.
You know, look, we end up with 4 wins at the end of the year. Maybe we look at something.
Right.
That's a conversation we can have after. Because if Kentucky comes in and runs down your throat and you have 4 wins.
It's going to get ugly around here.
That might be a different conversation.
Yeah, it's going to get rough.
Okay, yeah. But I'm talking, and the reason I ask you this, because I brought this up earlier. And like I said, I don't want to lead you with this. I just want to give you kind of the facts of what I was saying. Charlie Strong did it midseason. You remember he got rid of Sean Watson?
You took the same example out of
him. Then let me just pass to you.
Didn't he promoted Sean Watson, because didn't he get rid of Sanford? Was it Mike Stanford?
You're right.
Mike Sanford?
You're right.
He was older guy who'd been around a while and was like a veteran OC.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it was going into the bye week.
And promoted Sean Watson.
Yeah, and the offense was struggling, and the defense was there, but the offense was, I mean, we were lucky to score 10, 13 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
He made the change.
It's a good call.
Went to Sean Watson, and you remember Sean Watson developed the reputation for being like the Teddy Whisperer.
Yeah,
you
know, Watson.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson. Is that what you said?
No, Sean Watson.
Oh, I thought you said Deshaun Watson. I was like, yeah.
No.
I mean, I would take him.
Yeah, I would take him.
Yeah. But yeah, Sean Watson, the Teddy Whisperer.
We promoted Sean Watson. And
you're 100% right, because Sean was the one crying with Teddy.
Yeah, and then Teddy, you know, that's where Teddy kind of came up, and he got the opportunity, and then, you know, the rest is history. You know, I mean, we took off and ended up going to the Sugar Bowl a year later.
Yeah.
So you can – their history has shown that when you make a change or make a tweak, I should say, that you can benefit from it. You know, the things I look for is, can you change? You know, the adapt to change. Because some coaches, we've just heard, you know, every year in the offseason, they say, we're going to play a faster style. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And then you get there and it's the same old. So, we'll see. You know, I think a big part of it is you look at are the players still engaged? You know, how involved are the players? I feel like that locker room is solid. I feel like culture is solid. You know, you're not hearing the rumblings of just a toxic locker room like we heard under the last coach.
Sure.
You're not seeing the quitting on the field where, you know, at the end of Petrino's tenure, our defense wasn't even chasing the guys after they got blown by. It was just, you could see it in their eyes, they quit. This group, I haven't seen any of that. I mean, they're fighting to the very end and they're just come up short, the last two games. So
to the point to where I think we've said it on the air earlier this week, we said, I think a lot of the kind of anger comes from you felt like the kids were kind of robbed of a win.
Yeah.
Because they played so good and so hard, and they're dancing on the sidelines, and they're trying. Like, they were – I almost – and this is the sickest thing I'm going to say all day. I almost tweeted out, and maybe I'm part of the issue, when they were on the sidelines and they're playing, Joker and the Thief, and they're getting jacked, I almost tweeted, this is a different team. And do you know I didn't? Because I said, as soon as I tweet that, they're going to lose. And I didn't tweet it, and then sure enough, but I agree with you. I think people were angry because it was like the kids deserve to win.
Yeah.
I think this is more on you.
Yeah.
You know, and you can be. For me, it's the defensive side. That's kind of was the first hour what we talked about. I think the defensive side of the ball, just I think you need changes, man. I think you need changes in the D-line coach, the defensive coordinator, maybe, a change there.
Yeah, and I don't know if you need to change the actual coordinators, but you need to change something. Hasn't been working. So whether or not you're changing the technique, you're changing maybe some of how aggressive you are. What something needs to be tweaked because it's clear that the book is out on what the Cards are doing on defense. You've seen it the last two or three weeks. You've even heard if you listen to some of the opponents' quotes after the game. They kind of knew they expected because they'd watched the film. They were prepared. Sure. They knew what Louisville was going to do on defense and how. And so even if it's just disguising some of the blitzes, being more aggressive. I mean, I'm with you. I don't, sitting there and only rushing the three is tough, especially when you're a little thin right there.
I know. And when you have the crowd is screaming, you have to rush. And let me kind of bring to you something. And I know, look, you'll know what I'm saying in a second. It's easier with Marcus in here to have this conversation. But I'm just in the thought process of I'm like, listen, the defensive line coach for me is not recruiting. You're not recruiting, and my defensive line isn't necessarily improving. I'm in the camp of, and this is what I say with Marcus, I joke with him, but I mean, I'm in the camp of, I go to the South and I hire me a black defensive line coach, and I'm like somebody that can relate. And I say that because you can relate to the kids that you're majority recruiting.
Sure.
Okay. Like, we don't have to be uncomfortable about that. I think it's fair. I mean, we had two guys commit under, and it's funny, we're having this conversation. You can't find two guys whiter than me and Matt Willinger. But it's like,
we started the segment with you living in Norton Commons. So I know, just want to remind the listeners.
Yes, just so you know. We had guys before, like Keith Brown and stuff. I was like, hey, I felt comfortable with Charlie Strong with an all-black staff. I'm not saying you got to go get an all-black staff. I understand that. But I think for me, the defensive line, that's what I would like to see him move in that direction, okay? So I would make the move there at least. I said in the first hour, I would personally move Brian Brown at this point, and I know it's kind of counter of what I just said,
right?
But and put Court Dennison in that spot.
Okay,
he's kind of the associate. I think I would like to give him a shot. But I'm also with you. I understand if Brian Brown's willing to make a total change,
right?
And say, look, okay, maybe my philosophy's not working. We'll talk about after the break in a little bit. We'll chat about Chris Mack, but I made the point of Chris Mack said, look, I had the number one team the year before last, the number one team in the country, number seven going into the net, and he was able to sit down, look in the mirror, and go, my style is not going to work. It's just not going to work. I have to change it. And not just, I mean, I have to completely.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about a quote he said yesterday that I want to get your opinion on later that is showing I'm completely changing my style, like totally. So if he can do that, I think the little football program could do that too. And that to me is what has to happen, because if no changes are made, and I'll get your thoughts on this, if no changes are made and this season plays out, lost to Boston College, you lose your next three, beat Syracuse and Wake. We'll give you five. Or beat Boston College and beat Duke. And I said Wake. Yeah. And beat Duke and lose to Syracuse and lose to Kentucky. And you end with five wins and you made no changes whatsoever. I don't think this fan base is going to be in the mood to go, oh, okay, well, we'll see. Well, he'll make changes in the offseason.
I can tell you, you don't want to be going into that UK game needing a six win to be bowl eligible.
Not at all.
You want to get that six win before you have Kentucky come in to Cardinal Stadium. Right. Because the thing that they would love to do, the cherry on their season would be to.
Because we've done it to them.
Get a 10th win
times.
And keep us from being bowl eligible.
Yes.
They would love nothing more. So I'm totally with you on that one. You need to get that six win well before Thanksgiving.
And do you agree with me on, I just don't think the fan base, and you can say it's wrong. Or whatever, that's fine, and it may not be what you say personally, but I just think there would be a much more of a, whereas if you made some sort of change in style and coaching and something, and then we saw some improvement, I think people go, okay, maybe
things,
he will make
things
some change.
Were different, right.
Yeah, and maybe you will get some different recruiters in here, some things.
You got to use Coach Cal's word. Remember a couple years ago? It's not a change. It's a tweak.
Yeah, fair enough.
They made the tweak.
I know.
And then they made the championship game.
Yeah, and ironically, what that tweak was Aaron Harrison passed the ball more.
So
that's what he said.
Right. Maybe Cardinal football on defense makes the tweak that they need. Changing up, making a little bit more aggressive style, mixing in some disguise blitzes. And who knows what we'll see.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, and then we'll go to break. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this because this has been a hot button topic.
Okay.
Local recruiting. That's kind of been for football.
Yeah.
I think basketball is different. I think basketball, you say, we're a top six program. Go get me the best players. And if they're local, like Caleb Glenn, get them.
Sure.
But you don't have to take a kid locally in basketball just because they're pretty good. Football, I think, is a little different.
I agree.
I think you do. So I'm curious, local recruiting on the football side of it. Are you kind of up on the local, like what the argument has been the last couple weeks?
I don't follow it as closely as I did when I worked for Rivals.com, but I will say I can share this with you. I have the same philosophy as our former coaches, Howard Schnellenberger, John L. Smith, and Charlie Strong, which is you got to build a wall around Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
You have to build, we can't let kids go on and star at Purdue or at your local SEC school. I mean, if you have Division I top tier talent in the city, they've got to be Cardinals.
Well, and I said it yesterday, and if you're not going to, right, Texter, that's good. Our tweak would be blitz Abdullah more. Like, see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It would have been simple as that to let Abdullah go in the fourth quarter. I think you win the game.
Run wild.
Yeah, right. So, okay, but back to the point, if you are going to, you have to do, and I said this yesterday, what Charlie Strong did, I'm not taking Ace Wells. But I'm taking Brandon Ratcliffe.
Yeah.
Okay,
that
fair
was
enough.
One. And he got some heat
over that. I'm not going to take Jalen Boyd, who is that was one where I was kind of harsh on him too. Because I'm like, I don't know. I think you take him. It's Lavelle Boyd's son. He's right here in the city.
Right.
But I'm going to get Charles Gaines and Calvin Pryor.
Turned out all right.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
The ones you skip on there, I'm not going to take Jason Hatcher because I think he's a little bit of an issue. But I'm going to go get Lorenzo Malden, fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. We can live with that. But I just think right now, especially at male high school, you've got a crop of kids, man. Like, you got to go get them.
I think maybe you tweeted it out over the weekend. I can't stand seeing UK coaches on the sidelines at male high school.
Right.
And I saw a couple of them there on Friday night, and I was like, no, that just tears me apart.
I'm not faulting you for kids that you're recruiting, and they're just like, dude, I'm not staying in the city.
And some are. Some are just dead set on, I want to go away to school, and you can't fault a kid for
not
that.
Not at all. The kid from Trinity a few years ago, Stephen Heron, it was like, dude, his final, he ended up going to Stanford. Like, all his finalists were out west.
Right.
It's like, dude, I'm leaving. Okay, I'm going to Stanford. Like, okay, I can't fault you there.
You can't fault the kid for
going to Stanford. I can't even fault you for the random kid that goes, like for instance, Louisville was recruiting the city of Louisville great, and Kentucky started to pull some kids out of Central High School, Corey Peters and a few like that. Okay, I can give you that. Maybe they get a little bit of an in somewhere. But right now, when I'm seeing kids like Selah Brown and different ones that are like, wanting to come to the city or come to the University of Louisville, and they have other good offers, and you're kind of like, because if I got to watch J.J. Weaver make another play at Kentucky, I'm going to punch myself.
You know the one that drove me nuts? The one that Keenan Burton.
Keenan Burton.
He went to school. He grew up a Louisville fan and went to school at Manual directly across the street from my office at U of L.
Yeah, and wanted to go to Louisville.
And was awesome at UK.
Oh, he was awesome.
And one day he was like best friends with Larry O'Banner and friends at U of L and just...
Even Keenan Burton, it's like until that final year.
Yeah.
You could swallow it because you're like, well, we did get Mario and we got Harry.
And Manuel wasn't producing a ton of talent at that time.
But I agree with you.
Yeah.
My philosophy is I think you bring the studs in here and allow them. I would rather them not work out here than to be great somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree.
And more times than not, they're great. I mean, like I think Blankenbaker brought up, Chris Barclay goes to Wake, and he leaves the all-time ACC leading rusher. It's like, dude, he was right here.
When I see Rondell Moore playing for the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I'm thinking, he could have been a card.
I know. And everybody says, well, we took Tutu. Yeah, but we took two other receivers in that class, too.
We made room for him.
Yeah.
You make room for him.
There was a spot. So that's another thing that I think they should do, because make no mistake about it, I think there's some winning. I don't think fan base has quit on him yet.
I don't think so.
Some people have said that. I disagree. I don't think that's the case. But I do think he's got some winning over to do a little bit, like or not even winning over, but getting back in his corner. And in these next six games are going to be really important how he handles it staff wise and off the field wise, right. You know, so I don't know. We'll see. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Coach, do what? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will when we come back because I don't have it with me right now. I think you sent it to me, but I'll get that in. I got a couple more I need to get in. I'm going to remind you of a few things after the break, and we're going to talk about Chris Mack and basketball. Yesterday was ACC Media Day. He had some things to say, some that I really liked. So we're going to chat about that. Matt Willinger's joining us today. This is Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville. Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville. A few things I want to remind you of. You guys know by now that it's Wednesday. God knows I don't want Phil Baker screaming at me, and he will. So I want to remind you that it's Witch Wednesday here at ESPN Louisville. Thanks to Jason and his team for bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios. It's a Witch Wednesday, so be sure to get carryout, curbside, or delivery from the Hurstbourne or Brownsboro Crossing location. You might find me over there sometimes in the Brownsboro location because it's good food. For lunch or dinner or your next tailgate, they're also now hiring crew members, shift leaders at both locations. Text Team Witch to 502-735-0900 to apply or order online at the Witch app. Witch Superior Sandwiches. Also, want to remind you of a few things here at the station. This is my fault because I kind of forgot to do some of these in the first hour, but UPS Jobs is now hiring or offering up to $21 an hour for part-time package handler positions. Weekly attendance bonus of $50 still in place for those that work the Sunday shift. Get your tuition paid for 100% at the University of Louisville and make $21 an hour. It's pretty good. And be eligible for academic bonuses through the Metro College program. Apply today at upsjobsky.com. It's pretty good, man. Did you ever work at UPS?
I did not, but I had a lot of fraternity brothers that paid for their U of L education by working that overnight shift.
I know. That's what I was going to say. A lot of people, it was like a little four-hour shift you could do. Yeah. Some people
middle
did.
Of the night. And I don't know how those guys did it because they were always coming in to go to bed when I was on my way to class. And but you respect them.
See, I was terrible at staying up. So here's my UPS story. I got a job at UPS when I was in college. So I get the job. I do the interview. Everything's done. I'm ready to start. I'm driving in on my first night. I turned around, went home. Never went back. Never even went in one day.
To what, cold feet?
Yeah. I was just like, I can't stay up.
Listen for me.
Yeah. I was driving in at 11:30 at night. And I was like, I'm done.
Like, I know this isn't.
I got off at the exit for UPS. U-turned. And went right back home.
Okay.
Shepherdsville.
But did you do the no call, no show? Or did you at least let them know you weren't coming?
No, I called them that night.
Okay.
On my way home. Yeah, I called them and was like, hey, I'm not coming in. You know, I'm supposed to start today. I think I lied. I think I was like, actually, I got another job, and I can't do it. I think I made up something like that. But yeah, I was just like, I can't stay up.
At least you didn't do the no call, no show.
No, I was. I'll be honest with you. I was driving in, and I started to kind of get anxious about it, and had a little anxiety with it. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm just not. I can't stay up this late.
Well,
just left.
It's like the butterfly effect. Without that, you may not have been here for all of us.
No, fair enough. Yeah, I know. Ironically, stopped playing football, and look, probably if I hadn't, I would obviously be in the NFL right now. So stop doing that. Yeah. Look, everybody had a plan, and the plan was for me to be sitting here with you, not in a meeting somewhere in the NFL.
UPS and the NFL's loss is our gain.
Right. I know. I am on October 13th, sitting here with Matt Willinger, exactly where I want to be.
Can't believe we're already mid-October.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know. Listen, it's wild, man, but time flies.
Yeah, talking basketball media day already. I couldn't believe. I was like, is it really? I guess it is, because you got the red-white game coming up. And
Saturday.
Then the exhibitions roll right after that.
Marcus and I were talking yesterday about how it's funny how basketball season sneaks up on you.
Always.
Football doesn't. You're like,
you've been waiting
football,
for it. Salivating for it.
But, man, basketball, you just look up and you're like, Texter says, hey, Steve, I was a ball boy for the 84-85 team that won it all. The following year, I had so much fun. This is my letter that Coach Crum sent me, and they sent a picture. That's pretty cool. Did you get a letter like that?
Yes, and I probably still have that letter because
that's awesome.
I'm a pack rat when it comes to UofL memorabilia and stuff.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, let's talk about Coach Mack. Coach Mack, yesterday, you just brought it up, ACC Media Day. Truthfully, he didn't say a lot at Media Day.
I only listened to his stuff. Was it pretty much like a coronation of Coach K and farewell?
Oh,
and,
Media Day.
I mean, red carpet, all that.
Yeah,
I figured that's how it would be, so I kind of just followed the Louisville Twitter to get Chris Mack update.
And nothing yesterday when they talked to Coach Mack. Really, I mean, there was nothing that was asked that was, I mean, it was national guys. A lot of them were national guys that were asking everybody, the players, like, you know how they have a list. And it's like, I'm going to ask every team about NIL. I'm going to ask this.
Who to watch for, what to do.
It was like, whatever. So, but Coach Mack did talk to a lot of different media entities, some here in Louisville, some nationally. And one he said, and this is what I want to bring up, because we were talking about earlier about him changing his whole philosophy.
Yes. And can coaches do that?
And can coaches do that?
They're prideful guys.
Because we don't really know if Coach Mack can yet. Me and Maven saw a little bit.
Okay.
It looks, they're definitely trying.
I like that.
Yeah, they're definitely trying. We're talking balls not hitting the ground, out of the net, not four-man, before four-man, got it, threw it in. Didn't matter where you were as the four-man, you threw it in.
Good.
Now it's closest guy to the ball.
Tempo.
Get it, move. If you're the point guard, get it in, get it right back, go.
Good, I like that.
I'll say this. I don't think I'm breaking confidence here. A player on the team right now actually said, in talking with a parent, said, I know that my job, because the parent was kind of asking their position, and he said, look, basically, there's three positions are exactly the same. I know if I get my butt down the floor, I'm going to get buckets. Like, and that was coming from somebody on the team that's saying, listen, I know when that ball goes up, if I don't get the rebound, get my you-know-what down the court, and I'm going to get a basket.
Good.
That's how we're playing. So there is proof in that pudding, if you'll allow me to say, leading into the season. So now, of course, he's not going to get the coach for the first month, so that's fun. But other than that, other than that, you. Yesterday, he said something defensively.
Okay.
And that's music to Louisville fans' ears in basketball.
I think I know what you're hinting at.
Yeah, he brought up Jared West.
Yes,
and Jared West has kind of been the, almost the forgotten guard, because Noah Locke come in, we're like, oh, he can shoot. L. Ellis has been the guy.
He's got all the buzz.
You're got the buzz. Then you bring in Mason Faulkner, and we're like, okay, Mason Faulkner, I mean, he's Tick Rogers' cousin. Before he's even here, Tick's telling Mark, he's like, man, this kid's good, you know, and
good.
I trust Tick.
Love,
you know,
Tick,
like,
Rogers.
Yeah, he's amazing.
From Munfordville.
He's a legend, you know. We're like, okay. And so now you bring him in, and then you're like, oh, and we got Jared West.
Right.
who is number two all-time in Conference USA steals, number one all-time at Marshall steals. Oh, and we got him. Yeah. And he shoots 47% from three. Yesterday, Coach Mack said, I'm going to let Jared, with the depth we have, pick up full court.
Love it.
And play defense.
I love that.
Okay, I'm curious. Yeah, I was wanting to know what you had to say about
it. I love it because, you know, that's what I've missed in those first couple of years that Mack's been here was, you know, I love seeing the defensive pressure that, you know, you think back to the 2013 team, because I don't think any team did it better when you had Siva and Smith. Yeah. Oh, and they were just like little attacking fleas from ridiculous. The time you inbounded the ball. They were on your hip and didn't give you an inch to breathe all the way down the floor, you know. Yeah. Unless you were in transition, they were picking you up from the time you inbounded. Right. And
West isn't a huge guy.
Right. And you started to see, you know, first half, it was what it was. You know, they were just being annoying to the guy with the ball.
Yeah.
But midway through that second half, you start to see whoever, you know, you start to see their guards. You know, the fatigue sets in.
Sure.
Fatigue gets us all.
Sure.
You know, and
absolutely does.
And that's when you'd start to see, you know, between that 8 to 12 minute mark, you start to see their guards really wear down. And that's when remember, we were called the boom boys, you know, because we could boom you with those 12, 15 point runs. That's when those would happen.
Yeah.
And so having somebody just pick up that man, even if it's not generating steals, it's just wearing them down. Keeping that pressure on you, making you think, you know, because right now we don't even make you think walk. You know, they can walk the ball right up the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
We pick you up at half court. You know, kind of make you think, second guess yourself. So that was great news to me because I love that style, and I think it's only going to lead to more transition buckets.
Well, and here's my thing. I think it makes me believe more that what you're saying is true, is that, listen, I'm not just changing it. I'm changing it. I'm not just saying, well, we're going to play pack line and then we're going to try to get out. I'm like, no, I'm going to pick. I still think he will have some pack line principles, but no, I'm going to send a pit bull out there and I'm going to get on him. And that's why I've got 14 dudes. Well, I guess 13 now with Mike James. I hated to see that.
I know.
Yeah, I think he was going to have a good year. But it's like, I've got 13 dudes out here. I'm going to send them. Like, I'm going to have them. And again, now when I hear that, I go back to, like, this dude, number two, all-time Conference USA. Go ahead, laugh at the Conference USA. Oh, and then read who's played in the Conference USA.
And we used to be there.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, we only played against, like, you know, Dwayne Wade and guys like that. You know?
Remember him? Like,
yeah, there's names that you throw. I mean.
All of the Deaners.
All the Deaners.
They still haunt me.
Jalen Witherspops.
Yeah.
I mean, was there with Charlotte, you know? It's like, I mean, there's names that you go, Derrick Rose played in the CUSA. Yeah.
All those guys Cal had at Memphis.
Yeah, big-time names that played at CUSA ball. And it's like, he's number two. So I'm like, okay. Like, I just feel like this is the most underrated Louisville team in history. Because they're just, you look at top 25 lists, and I mean, they're in the 30s, 40s some. And I'm like, maybe it's my, because I've asked myself, is it my local bias?
Yeah, I have to do that all the time.
But then when I watch a little bit of this team, I'm like, no, this is a top 20 basketball team. I mean, this is going to be a good team. And I'm not afraid to really put that pressure on, Coach. Like, it's a good team, man.
They've got talent. They've got some veteran guys.
Yeah.
You know, keeping Malik healthy throughout the year, I think it's going to be tough.
That's going to be a big deal.
If you can, that could be the catalyst.
Yeah.
But you know what else I like? Not only do they have talent, they've got a mix of young and old. They're under the radar. And given what's happened over the last couple months, how could they not be playing with a chip on their shoulder?
Oh, 100%.
How could you not be playing with the us against the world mentality?
They hate you.
And I love teams that come out with a little, you know, okay, I was overlooked. Are you saying this about me online? Okay, how about that? You know, so I love teams that come in with a little aggression, a little, like, chip on their shoulder saying, let's do this.
And this team should have it. Team-wise, I mean, everything. I mean, even just with the – I know we're tired of doing this, but there's the block out the noise thing.
You get left out of the tournament. You're the last team to get left out of the tournament last year. Huh. Then you compound that with everything that's happened over the summer leading up to this.
I know.
If you don't show up with a chip on your shoulder ready to roll, then I'm questioning what you have inside of you. Because
I agree.
How could you not show up ready to run through a wall?
I agree, man, 100%. Gosh, I know. It's here. I mean, it's all here. So I know. Season's here. Everything's
It'll
here.
Be exciting.
Listen, it's 11:53. I don't want to leave without letting you again give us a little bit of a rundown of why. Because, listen, when you come in, like, I could just talk sports with you.
Yeah.
And I forget. I'm like, oh, yeah, he come here for a reason.
Plus,
too.
We're the same age, so I love all that. We have all the same favorite throwback players.
I know.
You know?
It's right in the same area.
Memories. Yeah.
Yeah, like Terrence Williams.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, man.
We all have childhood heroes like T-Will.
Yeah, right? Exactly. We shared a birthday, T-Will.
It's like, sorry. Real quick, homecoming week next week.
Everybody knows about the game on Saturday, but as the rep from Louisville alumni, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you about all the other activities leading up to that. So I'll really quickly, and if you miss any of this, go to UofLalumni.org, and we've got it all laid out right there on our website. But it starts Monday, October 18th. We've got our Game Changer Series. You can register. That's an online event with former student-athletes, kind of a where are they now. Really awesome. Fun to kind of check in with some of your favorite guys. Tuesday and Wednesday, we've got our Day of Giving. We call it Raise Some L, where it's just our big fundraising day of the year.
Yeah.
You know, donate to anything, any area of campus that suits you best. But, you know, if you're going to donate anytime during the year, do it during that day.
Yeah.
And then we have our Black Alumni Summit that kind of runs all next weekend. Different events going on throughout, everything from a tailgate at the game to a brunch on Sunday. And then it all, you know, our big showcase event is Thursday night. It's the Alumni Awards, where we have our Alumnus of the Year, General Joseph R. Martin, the number two man in the U.S. military, a 1997 UofL graduate, coming back to campus. I'm sure that's going to be exciting for us to honor him. It's going to be exciting for him to be on campus. I mean, things have changed a little bit since 97.
Yeah.
I don't even think Cardinal Stadium was was still under construction the last time he was here. And so that's taking place on Thursday night. We're going to live stream it to everybody that wants to watch and be a part of it as we honor 20 different fellows. So UofL alumni. Alumni.org. We've got all the info there. And if you miss anything, you can tweet me at Matt Willinger and I can direct you to the right place.
That's the man. That's why he's the man he is. Matt Willinger, man. Appreciate you coming in with me, dude.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Let's do it again, man. All right. Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.